grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.19, Gauntlet Throne, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Discrepancy. The quality or state of disagreeing or being at variance.
Chapter 36. Harry and Ramirez enter into the deeps and wait for entrance. A much healthier Justine greets them and gives them additional information from Lara about the current state of the White Court's meeting.
A much healthier Justine.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess the only way to go is up, but healthy is...
She didn't say healthy, she said healthier. Mm-hmm. Which...
Really quickly now...
She can speak!
Oh my god, and walk.
Justine, you're ambulatory.
Now?
So that should have been the word.
And done.
Stop knowing things. Now that I actually know the plot of this book, and it's all about the White Court, who I love.
Chapter 36.
Of 42.
I'm pretty sure it's 43.
Oh my gosh. You're right. I still have time to figure it out. I have been reading such a good novel lately. It's called Dangerous Liaisons. It was published just before the French Revolution. It is incredibly scandalous. It is literally White Court people running around ruining everyone's life. It is the most White Court thing ever. Not to give, like, too much of a spoiler, but enough to make people want to go read it.
You know, from this book that was published before the French Revolution.
But yeah. I had it on my shelf for, like, at least a decade now, and I never felt like reading it, but an attempt to read everything I own, I finally sat down and read it. And oh my god, it's like one of the best classics I've ever read. It was so good, and it was written in a way that I don't normally enjoy, which is letters. It was just letters to letters to letters from people going all the way around. And part of the problem that I had with it is that it's all French names and people, and they're, like, customary sort of proprietary thing is, like, friends can be like, hi, Sophia, oh, hi, Clarence. But when they're not friends, they're like, oh, hello, Madame Toussaint, and oh, hello, Mr. Chevalier. And
oui,
so I didn't know that, like, you know, Madame Toussaint and, like, Sophia were, like, the same person for a lot of the novel. You don't realize, because as different friends communicate with each other, you don't realize that they're calling each other different things. So it takes you a minute to realize the connection. It's, like, kind of like Crazy Stupid Love, where at the end of the movie, you realize everybody knows each other. Mm. Anyways, point is, basically, this man and this woman are really into each other, but they're insane, and in my head, you know, White Court. And they're like, well, I'm not going to sleep with you anymore unless you go ruin a couple other people's lives. And he's like, well, I'm not going to sleep with you unless you go ruin other people's lives, too. So, like, all right, let's go sleep with as many people as possible and ruin their reputations. And if they try to, like, tell them what we did, we'll just, you know, ruin them even further.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's this man and this woman who go around, and essentially, like, the, you know, laws of consent are not too deep. They're just like, you know, like...
Loosey-goosey.
She tells me no, but I can see the way that she looks back at me. She clearly wants me. She's just, it's just society that makes her doesn't want, whatever. That's kind of like the justification for everything. But point is that it's these two, this man and this woman just running around sleeping with as many men and or women as possible. And if they try to like complain or tell anyone what they did, they just ruin their reputation and destroy them. And by the end of the novel, like half the characters are dead. Spoiler. It was literally, the whole time I was like, this is literally like just like White Court politics the whole time.
No,
just having so much fun. Like, it's just foreplay for them to go sleep with other people and be like, oh, hee hee, I slept with this judge. And oh, hee hee, I slept with that married woman. And oh, hee hee, I slept with this, like, our, I slept with our enemy's child because she hates us and is trying to, like, stop us from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy, though. It was really good. I liked it a lot, but...
That was the inspiration for the...
Literally, though, I'm like, that is a perfect White Court novel, seriously. That is them to
achieve. So if you would like that, this book the most...
So if Bram Stoker's Dracula
is the Black Court, Dangerous Liaisons is like the warnings about dealing with the White Court, 100%.
All right,
totally.
So now we just gotta find where the Red Court fits in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay, just you saying, like, half of them are all dead now and whatever. It's like, I saw a meme the other day, and it was like, I don't even remember, something like Romeo sends Juliet, like, a cat video or something, and she's like, OMG, I'm dead. Romeo? 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 Just kidding. Romeo.
But yeah, it's good. Yeah, this is the problem I had, though, is that because there were so many French names and it was just hard for me to keep up because they're all using Madame and sure, whatever, all these different things that I was like, I'm just going to Google who the characters are so I can keep this straight. And then
and
it was like,
you were like, oh, Sophia like, Toussaint. Whoa.
And, well, kind of a little bit like that, but it was more so like, oh, Sophia Toussaint, one of the only characters to survive the novel. I was like, what?
Spoiler alert.
Literally. So that's how that was spoiled for me early on. I was like, what the fuck? They all died at the end? I wasn't expecting that. So then I stopped getting attached to anyone. I was like, you might not live.
So it was maybe good. Yes, it's hard sometimes to put things together like that and not find a major.
Well, the thing
is, just tell me the names without telling me anything else about this book.
Because I was just reading a bunch of Russian classics, and they have, at the beginning of all the novels, they have everybody's name and like a brief description without the spoilers.
Yes.
It just says so-and-so's landlord or whatever. So that's kind of what I was hoping when I did the Google, but instead I got like Google's like, so-and-so who famously dies. And I'm like, I didn't know they famously died.
You will in a couple more chapters.
Just like they're the limo.
Ah, yes, the limo. Back to with cornices and turrets. And wait, that's the house.
Yeah, they drive past the house straight to the deeps. They go
less walking.
Ha! For now. Although there's a cute line where he's all like, "I like the house, the whole castle thing. You know, looks like you're ready for like a besieging army." And she's like, "Or American wizards." He's like, "Ha! Touche."
I have never blown up your house once, Laura. God, what a reputation people give me.
Right?
God, everyone's on his case this day, or this book.
This book. It's okay. He's like, Elaine did that one.
I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one.
I'm building this. Good job. And then Ramirez is too. Lying. Evil. Evil. Lying.
Little teasing lying. Moment. There evil. Is cute.
Shit. Busted. Did I mention? So yeah, so they get there, and this is an interesting red carpet. Harry's not loving it as he goes along.
What, not a fan of human delicacies?
I think it's more the human, you know, enslavement that, yeah, goes along with the whole... And...
Not just humans, but...
The little pixies.
Mm-hmm, little folk all over.
And I expected him to blow up, like, instantly, but he doesn't. But he does, just not instantly.
Hmm.
I was like, what? I figured, like...
Well, even the back and forth they have, Lara's like, they all want to be here, Harry. And Harry's like, they don't know what they're agreeing to.
Yeah.
And a little bit further on when he's like, you're just testing the little folks, seeing exactly what you can get away with. And it's like, ooh, you slime balls.
Yeah. Well, it is. And then, like you see, even as you go down the line and you see a couple people that have had, you know, a metaphorical chunk bitten out of them or whatever, right? She's like, Maddie just can't, you know, like, but yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, but what else do you have them all lined up here for like this? And is that not saving like the hundreds of thousands of people by stopping this plot? And I'm like, they would have ate all those people anyways.
So part of this, you know, the redhead and her, what was it? Glistening tips or whatever. Pont as she panted. I think part of it is generally the genre. You know, Jim Butcher's trying to write, like, some noir detective shit, and he's like, there's always got to be some sexy, leggy, redhead.
Femme fatale.
Exactly, and I've got to throw it in. And then you've got, you know, the character of Dresden, who's not really held hostage by his genre. You know, Harry wants to be scary, he's scary. He wants to be goofy, he's goofy. So you get this kind of ranging comedy. So I think part of it, too, is that's why maybe we have sometimes the issues with his commentary on them, because it's like, well, it's supposed to be a detective noir sort of vibe,
right,
you would let that pass
for
detective noir, but Harry's so in control of his narrative that we just blame it all on him. We're like, bitch, you didn't have to say that, because these are like his diaries,
unreliable.
Not like a third-person narrator who's like, right. It's not my opinion that her tips were glistening, okay? That's just how it was, and I just have to describe that. It. No way. I like how you get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas it's Harry's words, so instead we can just blame it all on Harry for being a gross boy, but I'm like, I think sometimes it is Jim Butcher attempting to just strike the genre that he's in,
maybe. Right? Yeah, could be. I like how they're going along. Like, she gets all upset and she's like, ugh, Madeline or whatever. And she's like, for God's sakes, get him indoors or she'll finish him off on the way out.
Finish him later.
And then there's already like missing spots along the way. I'm like, do you care if these, like, are they here to get nibbled on or eaten, or are they not here? Like, again, are you just pissed because people are like you know, hitting the buffet table before you've opened the buffet.
I don't think she's pissed about that. I think she just thinks it's like, you know, she says, oh, it's gauche, you know? Like, they know that we have to be the ones to discard them, so they're not being as careful or holding back as much as they might because it's up to us to handle and take care of.
But here specifically, she is like, get them inside and, you know, clean them up and let them rest.
He's a little bit too far gone. When any of them get a little bit too far gone, yeah, they remove them.
But there's already, because he says he moves down. He's like, we also walk past spaces where there was a peg and a strip of white cloth, but no person kneeling within.
That could be added irritation.
I don't know. It's a party favor. They probably took the appetizer to go rather than finishing them all at once. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just like, funny where she's like sort of annoyed. Or maybe that was it. Maybe just that exactly. She left them like half eaten there instead of cleaning her plate. Like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, like they're here, but then you're also like annoyed that he's partially, but then you don't seem fazed like, by the fact that there's already.
Each of them could just kind of, you know, like brush their hair, shoulder, and get a tiny little bit off them, but somebody decided to take a big bite, and that's why Lara's like, okay, well, come on now. That's not.
It's like really eating your half eaten sandwich on the table. Okay. I mean, like, obviously that's kind of what they're, but it's just, yeah, it's like, which part is she getting irritated about? But yeah.
And then just you get this little brief conversation between Ramirez and Harry about, well, how do you know Lara? Because you're being fucking weird right now. Stunt double, obviously. Come on, Matt.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, yeah, we met. On the set of a porn movie.
So it's a nice little callback without having...
It is a nice little callback. And it is fair, right? Because you're right. We know all the background going on. We know every time Ramirez comes in. But we're like, oh, we forget all the times... That Ramirez isn't, like, even, not, you know, Murphy and stuff like that. She's not in on everyone. She's still right there, and we'll hear most of Harry's day-to-day sooner or later.
I had a complaint last chapter about Lara and Harry saying a little bit too much about Lara's involvement with the White Court, then Ramirez not questioning it and just going along with it. I'm like, you shouldn't know that, Ramirez. Like, that's a plot discrepancy that he shouldn't have, you know, that they gave away too much information, supposedly. But furthermore, as this conversation progresses, there... I was trying to, like, keep track of whether or not Butcher kind of remembered what Ramirez does or doesn't know, and now they seem to get better about not saying it in front of Ramirez for the rest of this novel. But it's just a little, I'm like, yeah, still from his point of view, this is weird, dude.
Well, and it is because as we get a little bit further into it, right, he does sort of bring up a little bit more of how much he doesn't know, right? And so I do find sometimes in these situations and across other books and things like that too, not just this writing or whatever, but I do find it interesting sometimes, like, where I'm like, how do you know this? Or you've forgotten that you did know this. And things where sometimes they will come back and you'll be like, oh, okay, they were just waiting to make. And other times where they just seem to keep you right. So I'm like, it is hard to tell sometimes, like, what, again, if it's just the author's having trouble keeping track or whether they're just like, for my intents and purposes and stuff like that, we're just not going to care if they're going to know as much or as little and be as bothered or as not. As I care to make them in the moment, you know? And I'm like, I do find it frustrating sometimes because I'm like, this, like, right? And you're trying to figure out, is this a major plot point or a minor plot point that's going to come back and pay off it? Or are you guys just fucking around with
generally, loosey-goosey for the Dresden Files, I throw it all, I chalk it all up to being time travel. I'm like, we will come back to that. Until Harry comes to prove me right.
I often think about how, like, it would take to plan all, like, books like this, and I, like, have sort of visions of his office having, like, these
yeah, the murder boards
of, like, all the satellites of people.
Yeah, no, for sure. And there's definitely elements of that if you're going to end up having a huge, big plot twist down the road where exactly you got a million irons in the fire that you got to...
And it's not just one book that you're trying to keep track of, too. It's, like, several. This is impressive.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm not a writer.
If you suddenly read 20 books together that start in book one.
50-50, though. I mean, not to say that Jim Butcher isn't doing a fantastic job, but I think, yeah, it's, you know, easier to solve a plot hole in 25 books than three. It's like, oh, I messed up something down here. Guess what? 25 books later, it was time travel.
Guess
actually.
What?
Fixed it. Ha ha.
It was supposed to. Yeah. Oh, did you notice? Ha ha ha. Yeah, exactly, right?
Okay, Justine, yay, we get to actually see verifiable proof that you're alive and that Thomas isn't risking everyone else's life to keep an empty shell alive. Kinda.
Oh, I mean, we knew she was alive at the...
We did not. We had Lara's word.
Yeah. Well,
Lara said she was protecting Justine.
Okay, but we saw her.
Like, last time we saw her, she was a vegetable.
She was a vegetable, yeah. But she was alive.
I think this is proof, though, that she's not, like, still being fed upon by Lara. If she's now gaining strength, though, she could have been kept a vegetable.
Lara did not necessarily have to sort of nurture her back to health. She could have just done the bare minimum. I don't think Lara could feed off her, though.
Oh, right, yes.
Because the whole love bond thing. So there is that, nobody can be... Yeah.
Safe by default.
Safe by default, yeah.
Didn't let her wither away, though. Like, Thomas. Like, that's nothing
new. I was going to say, yeah, she could have just done the bare minimum, too. Obviously, she has tried to heal her and, you know, give her physical rehab and the whole bit and get her. Yeah, she's not just maintaining that baseline of existing. But that was my point, though. It was just that we did know she was alive. And that,
yeah, she does still seem a little bit spacey. Yeah.
But that is Justine. Justine was a little bit right. That was the whole thing.
We find out right away that it's like she's putting on an act because she does the shave and a haircut handshake.
Which, by the way, Butcher, as we just, you know, applaud all your planning and 6,000.
Do you know that song?
Do you know that song? What the fuck is 6 bits? How much are you accounting for inflation?
Like, did it say 6 bits?
It says 6 bits. Oh, Marsters read 6 bits.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
What is it supposed to be, people?
2 bits.
Thank you. Nowhere could I find any records. I was like, maybe is this a thing? Do I? No. There's nowhere I can find copyright. Reference to 6 bits. Yeah.
Safety clause.
Oh, and it actually says ambulatory in here.
Yeah, she didn't come up with that on her own.
Well, I do know the word.
Sure, I thought you were super clever.
I am.
Cass was like, what? Good word for that. Put that in the novel.
Well.
Yeah, it does say 6 bits. Whoops.
Yeah.
You know, somnambulance.
Copyright.
Is like
copyright.
Yeah,
it's,
I guess.
It's got to be that, changed.
It's actually 10%. Funny because I was in the car going,
right?
What makes 6?
Yeah, right?
I was in my head, honestly, I thought, I wasn't confident that it was 2 bits. I did think, okay, sure, 6 bits, you know what you're talking about. But I was in my head, I was like, what a complicated handshake they just did.
Exactly.
Subtle, guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why. That's why I had to. What are those? Yeah, complicated handshake, secret handshake.
Sorry, guys, I can't show you that.
I was just watching. I still didn't get to the end of it or whatever, but I was just, I saw part of.
That's the nemesis. Nemesis would know that it was.
Elio, which is one of the most recent Disney movie thingies. Kid wants to get kidnapped by aliens and does whatever. But it's funny because he meets like this little sluggy alien thingy, right? And they start, and you just see like a couple of like montage scenes of it stuff. And they just keep making like this more and more complicated, you know, handshake and the shoulder bump and the butt wriggle and the.
Why are they doing patty cake?
Yeah. But yeah, I did. I had to double check it because I was like, did Marsters like read a rose? That's just like a glitch in his. But no, the audio copy and the book copy and I'm just.
Oh, I just totally just filled my brain, filled in the blank.
You know, well, yeah, he's out there doing.
It'll be addressed in 12 months.
in this alternate timeline. It's 6 bits.
It's always been 6 bits. But he's like, I planted the clues. I don't know what you guys are. But yes, we do get a whole little thing. We're like, all right, no one can hear us here. I love how they've got like the acoustics thing. Because actually, Jessica, you know, I know the thing for this. Wasn't it like John Adams' seat in like the Senate legislature, wherever the
you
fuck?
You hear everything?
Yeah, where he like refused to like ever change. And it wasn't until like after he died or something they figured out that, yeah, he was in like this funky little acoustic sweet spot. So when people
whispers.
Yeah, so when people were like standing off to the side trying to whisper about
awesome.
Yeah, because it would be like he fucking would not let anybody ever sit in his chair. Anytime people wanted to like change and move around, he fucking adamantly like refused. And then it was, yeah, it just turned out he had like this fucking know-it-all. Yeah, but yeah, so they're like, okay, so this is the sweet dead spot where absolutely nobody can hear us. All those little vampire whispers, this is not going to carry down to their super ears. So,
it was John Quincy Adams.
Quincy Adams. We go. Okay, I was like, yeah, thank you. Because I was like, John Adams is Quincy Adams.
There you go.
He didn't inherit his dad's seat, did he?
Son, you must never let anyone sit in this seat.
All right.
They haven't invented dinosaurs yet, but I know something's happening with the music.
That's how you figure out acoustics was from the dinosaurs? What?
Oh, no, like the first six sitting U.S. presidents didn't know about dinosaurs.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes, yes. Gotcha. Oh, I see. Like, I see. We don't know about dinosaurs, but we know about size, what you're saying.
Perfect,
there.
Yeah.
Did see Justine. It's still kind of, but I love how he even dresses, because he's like, well, last time he tried to scratch my face off. She's like, yeah, I'm still crazy, but I'm not that crazy. Like, this is, so instead of having Thomas balance out her psychosomatic, whatever, neuroses,
she still has mania.
She still has mania, but Lara's just got her on some regular good old Western meds, I guess, to keep that. And yeah, she's still doing, but again, like, it's this interesting thing of very deliberately kind of like, she's getting better, Lara's healing her, letting her, they're kind of keeping on the down low on how, right? Because again, they're just working with the reputation that Justine had of being just a little...
It's dangerous to bring her here.
Couple short of a picnic, right?
It's dangerous that she brought Justine to this such volatile place and was like, ah, you'll be fine.
It is. And I mean, this is again...
Well, they look at her and think, oh yeah, she's been brain dead this whole time. She's a vegetable. Well, so we don't have to worry about her. And it turns out she's actually fine.
Sure, but...
Well, there is. I was going to say, there is that. Is that, yeah, she can't be to right. She can't really be enthralled by anyone or fed off of. So it's good that way. It's risky. I thought you were saying from the point of risking an asset kind of a thing, right? Because obviously she's got more going on than, right, Lara's using her as a way to...
It works either way, though. Why bring her here if you... Yeah, either risking as an asset or from Justine's point being just a risk to her life, because they can still kill her.
They can still just plain kill
her. Shove her down. But especially if they have this sort of opinion that... But oh, see, this is your plaything. This is your pet. Like, I'm just gonna accidentally shove her down the deeps just to get back at you and be like, ah, fuck you. It's just the lamb, well, yeah, whatever.
But then that is the whites in a nutshell. That is anything. Because I was gonna say that
that's
too.
Why I'm
like
saying, bringing Justine.
But yeah, but then she could never take her anywhere or do anything. You'd never have an asset because the whole point is risking it, right? Like I say, the whole point
your
is like, why even agree to have this conclave? Because you know you're all just gonna try and blow each other up. But you all do it anyways, and you all put your, like, you know, I mean, you know the setup is a setup.
Why
to a setup.
Have
that's
a
half
plot.
The fun.
Exactly. So, right? So Lara's like, I'm either going to get us all out of this or I'm not, but that's what it is. It's all or nothing every step of the way. So if I don't bring her, then I don't, you know, I'm dying. With, you know, it's like the video game where you die with, like, the superpowers still in your thing because you didn't waste using them or something, right? But yeah, it's again, it seems so minimal at first, like first read through, and you're just like, la-di-da-di-da. But then again, we start going back and like discussing it like this. You're like, there's layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of, if you want to look at it that
subterfuge.
Way.
And
see, yeah, exactly, right? But regardless, it's kind of cool that Justine is not just the flaky flake either. Like, she's evolving. She's leveling up. She's something. Something somewhere is something is happening behind the
scenes.
She
is still
with her.
Useful.
Yeah, and again, just that it tipped the scales that Thomas is still her thingy, but Laura's like, you know what? If you're going to make me look after this, I will find a use for it and make a way to get something out of it, right? I'm not just going to have, like, a useless dependent.
Okay, so they go to eavesdrop, and Harry and Lash, obviously, no problem, speak whatever ancient language you want.
So, for fuck's sakes, Harry, why, after 3, 4, 5 years
if
now...
If I give an inch, she'll take a mile. Here, no. Laura, take him. No. Or Lash, sorry.
Why doesn't he just come up with... So again, he's got a super smart demon in his head that I'm sure... The fucking weaver of lies that I'm sure could help him come up with something. Why doesn't he, like, you know what? I finally figured me out, like, a translation spell.
I got a babblefish.
You know, I got... Right, or like, oh, you know what? Like, one of those 20 bonuses, not boons. One of those things the fairies owe me.
Yeah.
You know, I got... Yeah, you know, I've got a magic, like, translator ring or something. Like, yeah.
he could have come up with...
Right, even in the moment...
Or even let Justine translate badly for you and know exactly how the conversation is going and just pretend like you only have Justine's translation.
Or, like, exactly, right? Like, you could not have come up with because, again, we all...
Ramirez, listen to me. If you don't distrust me by the end of tonight, what does it take?
You are a shittier one than I thought. Here I thought you were just like...
I do
like,
so much know, suspicious crap.
It's like, you're not fucking just loyal, man. You are, like,
friend.
Bad at your job now.
But it kind of begs a little bit of a question to, like, why Lara would know he would be able to listen in anyways. Or if he...
Well, she,
or if
she does
assuming
it.
That,
yeah.
that
she
Justine...
She gives Justine. Justine
okay.
says that she
okay,
can
so that
yeah,
is
Justine's
the,
like, yeah. I can kind of translate, but it's going to be shitty. And he's like, no problem, I go. Which, again... Give her to fucking, like, if
Carlos,
you're not
exactly.
translating, then give her to Carlos to, like, Even that, I sort of forget, because I was thinking again, once we get into it, and they start that Harry, again, like at Molly's trial or whatever, be like, you know what, everybody here speaks English, can we just speak English
for
the...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm like, no, he never does do that, and I sort of forget. I was like, oh yeah, there's parts of it where, like Magical and that are talking English and listens in, but I was like, no, he never does get... So exactly, it was like, oh yeah, the whole entire thing... is exactly just fucking Ramirez standing there going, la di da da da.
Just kick me when I'm ready.
Just like, yeah, like, be like, is anything, are we, is now, now, you know, but yeah, I just, I, again, that's just
Why
one of those.
The council trust me?
And again, right, obviously it serves a purpose of showing like Ramirez's loyalty, but also like the Harry, what the fuck this is. But again, I'm like, yeah, just
Harry's
something.
Yeah,
careless. So could have just fucking, like, you're fucking wizards. There's a million ways. Fucking demons, fucking fairies, fucking wizard spells, fucking potions, fucking, but there's so many fucking ways you could have come up with some kind of plausible excuse. For fucking suddenly knowing, yeah.
Yeah, instead he just ignores all of these, like, sideways looks.
Well, what's the matter?
He's mentioning them, so he sees them. Like, so it's just willful ignorance at this point.
Just, ugh.
As for the actual conversation, it is interesting. I do like how they're... partially, it was all predictable. They're all fighting about who actually was running the scheme. And Lord Wraith is all, oh, going directly against my will? Yeah, good scheme, dumb motherfucker. I told you no, and you said yes. And they go back and forth.
But it's going to work now, so therefore it's fine. Can I just say, though, too? Thank God you have a fucking script writer, Harry. Because, again, you get the typical, when do I come in? Lara says you'll just know. And somebody just perfectly gives you a fucking perfect opening line to the whole. Man, that shit would piss me off so much in real life if somebody did that. And they'll be like, you'll just know. I'd be like, does one? Does it stop? Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. No, fuck, man. Just stand here. You'll know when
this
to jump
too much
in.
Pressure now.
If that wasn't a straight line, my name isn't Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden. That's pretty badass, though. I mean, really.
I mean, it is. But yes, I like, you can tell, like, she, like, for all their subtlety and cat's paws and you can't be overt, Cesarina here is like, no more fucks to give. Oh, my weak, impotent king. Yes, I went behind your back because we came up with this kick-ass plan. What are you going to do about it? Go fuck yourself. It's like, okay, so at this point, you're just laying your guards out. Because there's, yeah, you she has stopped being very, I mean, there's like,
she's confident about what she's got. She didn't realize that, oh, and I
but
like,
again, that's the whole point where, like, as soon as you save one, you've lost.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, she thinks that she's got the upper hand on this.
She
and
totally,
that nobody's going to say that, so, like.
Yeah, she totally.
She feels like she's laying, the like, her hand down on the table, like, I've got this. Boom.
And do they know, like, does she get lucky and get tipped off, or did they have people watching or whatever? Because she's like, oh, yeah, where's your son if he did all this? And the other guy's like, oh, I don't know, I'll be here. I'm like, are you just getting lucky that he hasn't showed up yet? Or you guys know that he, like, just got eaten in a parking lot, like, 2 hours ago?
No, he knows. They say, even Lara says that. Like, he's making a case right now because his son just got murdered. He's pissed off about it. He's, you know, he's currently trying to say, like, hey, recompense me. And the rest of the court is like, get fucked.
Okay, I thought it was more when she's like, where's your son? That he was just like, I thought it was, I didn't quite know yet why I hadn't shown up. Okay, yeah.
He's actively there. He showed up and was like, bitch, you killed my son. And they're like, maybe your son should be stronger.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Sucks to be you. Anyways, Alvora.
Either way, still, yes. Yeah, she's...
And we finally, officially find out that Grey Cloak is Vittorio.
We need to go back to the car. This is Grey Cloak Melvora. Magical is a passenger.
Yes, It's me!
Vittorio!
The confusing part is that he is in cahoots with Cowell in some way that is not addressed in
this.
Okay, so I'm expecting
all the way back where he followed him
to magical wizardly type.
Twat? What?
Twat.
He's a wizardly magical twat, yes.
True.
All of the above. What was that actually supposed to be, though? Wizardly magical.
That actually sums it up.
Not what I intended, but you know it works. All right, good enough.
Yeah. His dramatic entrance, though. What was the word again? The word? Damn it. He interrupts their...
Interlocutor.
Their interlocutor moment to do dramatic
the time
entrance.
The interlocutating is done.
I was going to say, that's the noun. An interlocutor is the person talking, not
they're
the...
Interlocutating?
I mean, I guess you could interrupt an interlocutor.
Either way, his entrance is so dramatic.
I was going to say, it is very good. And like I say, thank God he's got such a great script writer, too, because...
Who are you going to call? Harry Dresden!
Yeah.
Thunderclap.
Yeah. We are strong, and the strong do as they wish. Who shall call us to task for it, O King? You? Vittorio Malvora, Madrigal Wraith. I am Harry Dresden, Warden of the White Council of Wizards under the Ancelia Court. I accuse you of murder in a time of peace and challenge you here and now.
To the death.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
Damn, there ain't nothing like a good entrance. I agree.
I agree. That was well done.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 37. Lord Wraith allows the challenge from Harry and Ramirez, which is finally accepted by Madrigal and Vittorio.
Now imagine him making that entrance if he'd had to wait for Justine to translate. He'd have been like 30 seconds behind. That's not cool.
I know, right? Meanwhile, Ramirez is like, oh, wait, but that's us. We're going now. So Maddie, a little unhappy here.
It's so dramatic. Night. This isn't happening.
Didn't see this coming.
Talos, this can't be happening.
Yes. I did want to acknowledge the curse empty night, because I didn't. I was like, is that a real curse or is that a Jimism?
I think it's a Jimism.
It's a Jimism.
It's a Jimism.
It's a Jism.
It's a Jism. Yes.
Because when I looked it up, I found this fabulous Reddit. In the Dresden Files. But it's just a tiny bit too spoilerish. But I do want to acknowledge it. So later on.
You can put a link or something to it. And then people that are in the notes.
It's in my notes. Yeah. So whoever is in the. Yeah.
Empty Night, Hell's Bells. Those are swear words in.
Not Hell's Bells. Hell's Bells is in the current. Stars and Stones.
Stars and Stones. It's Empty Night, Stars and Stones.
He uses that one. He uses Hell's Bells a lot. But honestly, that was like, I grew up with my mother saying Hell's Bells. So
that a little less.
Yeah, it might be another one of the ones that Ebenezer hints is like you don't know the meaning of it, but
yeah, I think Stars and Stones, Hell's Bells, and Empty Night are like the final trilogy titles.
They might be, but I'm just saying that Hell's Bells itself is not unique to.
Right, I don't care about that. I'm talking about the Dresden Files.
Oh, I thought you were talking about unique. I thought you were talking about Jisms, okay? So I was like, it's not, but yes.
A little bit summarizing all this, I do like that essentially Lord Wraith is, you've been running around killing the freaks, and now the freaks want to show up and challenge you. How am I supposed to say no to that? And you're just mad that they're here to say, fuck you.
You're big. He's like, you just said you had them down against the ropes, and they're also, here you go. Put them out of their misery. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it is. It's great. And you can tell because, again, she's like, Lord Wraith, we can't. He's like, and right, you just, that look, right? And she's like, oh, you're going to fuck me. And he's like, I'm so going to fuck you. Either way, it's, you're like, yeah, just.
Ace card, Harry Dresden. Ace card, Harry Dresden. Ace card, Harry Dresden. Well, not this even, guy doesn't care who he kills.
Not even Harry Dresden, but I'm in between Wraith and Chazarina.
Yes, I know.
Oh, okay, okay.
He's got Harry Dresden as an ace card.
Oh, he's got Harry. I thought you meant Dresden was pulling out the aces. But yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just like, once again. Either way.
You're the king and you're not.
You just got put in a bad spot. And again, and even this, I like how she goes through. She's like, we're not at peace, we're at war. And he's like, yeah, but these guys aren't. Well, then they don't count. Oh, but because they don't count, they're under our protection and we are under. And like, it is a kind of a beautiful little workaround for.
It's like, how dare you use our tricks?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it's sort of, just regular case law. It's like, well, actually, under XVY, this has been established that they are under our protection. We made a big deal about them being under ours, so you want to involve us, you involve them, you
it is a nice way because they both seem to have valid points, right? And she's like, but they're not signatories, you know? And he's like, but because
could have made a minor living as a lawyer.
But yeah, but because you specified, yeah,
for you.
Right? Because you went after only magical, the magical people definitely fall under.
We get too far away from it, though, too. I just wanted to point out that this time when they're describing the cavern that they're in,
the deeps.
They describe it. He describes it in kind of religious terms because he compares it to a Parisian cathedral. But he also uses the term "it's in living stone," which is a very Bible reference.
Well, he
did.
I think both just for like size and nature is where we get the comparison to like the catacombs and stuff like that.
Which made me kind of wonder if like the previous time in the other book when the deeps were mentioned, if it was in another sort of
section,
if it was also sort of like that. Maybe I just missed that it was a.
I think. No, I think at the time, partially just the environment and like the actions that were happening, because I don't recall any sort of.
He also does start this one saying it looks different this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been redecorated because it's no longer a 70s porn swingers house. Lara's like, okay, Dad, we're gonna. Enough of that.
I just thought it was an interesting choice to put religious connotation on it instead of like more of a royalty.
It is.
I would think that because there's a throne, but it was like just.
I would say, I'm not saying you're on that is, but I mean, again, I think it comes down to a little bit just like the stature of it. Like, what am I like again? Like with the throne being in living wood, this living stone, meaning that they have taken the natural elements of this and you know what I mean. They haven't just it's not a completely man-made edifice or structure, or you know what I mean. They've worked with this, so I take part of the living stone, not necessarily just as not that it can't, but not you know that I was specifically. So I'm like, I don't know. I kind of can read either. Way onto it, but either way, I think the biggest thing is just exactly that they're trying to get the size and enormity of this fucking little lovely little cave that just happened to be on this property where we can just dump all our bodies. But yeah, the rest of it, where again, it has this big throne and little misty waterfall-y feature thing at the back, and then
it's a very interesting like look to it, right? And the fact that they have automated lights to emulate candles.
I know, right? You want to be the one to, like, rig up that. Like,
this is pre-smart lighting and LEDs that were in popularity haven't hit yet. That would actually take some quality technology and money to do.
Well, we just had to. So the Cub Hall that we use, that we're very fortunate to have as a dedicated space of our own, is an old schoolhouse. So it's small in the sense that it's, you know, basically just one floor on the main floor, one floor upstairs in the basement. But because this thing is 1912, if I recall correctly, so we, in the last couple of years, they had to, like, renovate it to bring it up to spec and add, like, make it more, like, wheelchair accessible and that. So in doing so, instead of having all the stuff, a lot of the wiring and the lighting and all of that they had to redo. I don't know if it was a choice or they couldn't go into the walls and do it all. So now we have like the silver conduit running around in little, you know, it's very neat and tidy, but we have all this like on the outer, it's all very visible. It's on the walls and where you see all like this conduit and stuff like, right? I'm like, suppose I'm like, they couldn't even go into like 100-some-year-old schoolhouse and like hide the wiring. I'm like, who the fuck had to do this thing? And like a fucking cave, and they're like, "The fuck are you gonna drill in and get this?" Like, they've either got some really, really pissed off contractors, or some minorly pissed off,
lots
but
of money,
really
money
well
compensated. Drugs onto
oh fuck like, yeah, which
for automated lights.
But I'm just thinking about the people that actually have to do that. Like, I have a hard enough time in this day and age trying
it's
to
fine,
do. And
they were
like,
well compensated.
Yeah, but even so, doesn't make the work any easier.
They enjoyed it at least.
Doesn't feel like work.
Or, yeah, well, that's true. They could have been compensated in lots of ways. They might have been more than happy to.
But all of it's so dramatic, like the whole setup.
Can't even remember it.
I was going to say, you got enough of Lara and her sisters, they might not even need tools to drill into that thing. So I guess fair enough.
But on
they were drilling for sure.
Drill through stone. Anywho, yes, she has very much modernized it. And classified it. Well, it's
classified.
Both classified and classified.
Hashtag classified.
Although the more she keeps inviting me. Once you let Harry in once, nothing's classified anymore. Fucking everybody's going to be there. And Lord in a magical swish-swish costume change. And the time it takes her to run down 40,000 feet into the air, she can change from a business suit to a kimono.
And again, so listening in on the conversation of Madrigal and Vito arguing back and forth about whether or not they can take it.
No, I don't want to know.
You're such a little bitch. You are literally, as Vito says, you're the one who dragged him in here.
Him here
we
now
were
you're like,
good without him. Yeah, the race didn't even bring him in to be like, hey, can you come help us with this problem?
You were like, hey, okay, Harry.
Sorry, Madrigal is a race, so technically they did. But
as a collective, they yes. did. It was not sanctioned from yes. the crown. But yeah, you literally went, neener, 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 you can't catch me.
I'm going to kill your friends, kind of.
And now he's come to catch you. You're like, that's not fair. Yeah, I'm going to run away.
Yeah.
Literally.
T. Oh, such a
So yeah. I do appreciate that Vito is at least like, bitch.
Right.
And then, yeah, if you don't deal with Harry right now, you're going to deal with my mommy or my auntie or whatever the fuck it is.
But his mom, yeah, Vito's mommy, yeah. Madrigal's auntie, yeah. yeah. Which, by the way, I kept expecting when it's nuts, Harry goes over there to talk about him. I was waiting for him to make me like, hey, Darby, or something like that. You know, just to. But I did, semi-coincidentally, I was looking for something to watch the other day, and it was there, and I went, so I have now actually watched Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Spoiler alert, Sean Connery is not Darby, which is what I originally assumed.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Who is he?
Guess.
Darby's the only name I know in that entire movie.
Doesn't matter. You can still guess.
Sean.
It's not Sean.
Mr. Connery.
It's Michael.
That would have been next.
Sean Connery is Michael McBride. Mm-hmm. And Darby O'Gill is... And it was
further interesting, though, because, you know, when you put all the White Court into movie production, right? Okay, the Wraiths are with the pornos, and then sure, you can throw the scabies and or the
scabies or
scavis.
Sometimes it happens.
I know. It's
you can throw all the scavis and or the
well, I was gonna say you got the
Malvora into like the horror realm, but the fact that Wraith, who should be the
Madrigal,
oh my god,
this one
Madrigal, who should be on the
porno site,
love, oh, sex, intimacy one, is more drawn to the horror. And, you know, it was like, broski.
That bastard
be
child.
Like them,
yeah. He does the snuff films. I was going to say, you definitely
but
have.
I just wonder, is it born, though? You're born to the fear, or you're born to the pain, or you're born to the sex? Or do they just kind of choose on their own which way they like, what they like to eat? And the Wraiths are kind of like groomed by their father to make it all about sex. But Madrigal's clearly kind of has a preference, not for that, but for the pain and fear and horror or whatever.
I mean, I definitely think there can be overlap. I would say, yeah, I mean, probably to a large degree that genetics, right?
Make the a more inclination?
Yeah, right. So those demons are more...
His uncle's actually his father.
Well, I mean...
A little switcheroo.
But yeah, but like you say, I exceptions to every kind, and there's, right, some people do like their... I mean, there's certainly no end of pain and psychological thriller, whatever. So his just might lean more towards, because he is, again, presumably the one that did Jessica Blanche or whatever. And she did die through, like, sexual pleasure. So just because there could have been, like, a fear factor involved, yeah, it heightened it. But it was still sexual more than just straight up fear. So, yeah, so you...
That was just to throw Thomas under the bus, okay?
That too.
Not for the love of the game, Harry. Don't even worry about it, okay? That, it was up to me.
That too. But, yeah, I think it's like any given whenever you have these gangs of, you know, it's like the, you know, the street knife guys all use street knives, but there's like one guy in their group that really likes guns, so he's just naturally going to drift along to like the gun guys and eventually like in part of... You know. I mean, it's all, but yeah.
So finally, Ramirez gets the rundown of what's been going on this whole time, which is, again, further. Harry.
Yes, we accept, but we need weapons.
So,
and take a break.
Can you imagine, right? Yeah, so you have to stop for a minute. So Justine is like, hey, shit's going to go down. You're just going to magically know when to pop in. You're listening to this language that I don't even know what ancient Etruscan even sounds like. It's probably nowhere near fucking Latin or anything like that. All of a sudden, Harry starts booming in with this big entrance. Everybody goes, what? He may or may not also be listening in to Madrigal's little hissy fit or whatever in English. And then all of a sudden the king gets up, and then she's like bitching, and then Madrigal goes, oh,
and they go, yes.
And then their music starts, and White is passed around, and, you know, they're like, is this okay with you, Harry? Harry's like, this is okay with me. And then they're just like, dude, and yeah, literally,
yeah, it would be, it's like, what? Disruptive.
This is a fucking nut house. Nut Cave. But the other thing now that I have to... So he goes into this. So Harry gives us a little explanation that they're like, they can back out. And then the White Court will have to pay like a weregild. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Time out here to the families.
What's a weregild?
I know what a weregild is. That I get. My thing is the diplomacy here. On the one hand, yes. Obviously, you want Harry to go in and take vengeance. We want to kill Madrigal. We want to kill Malvora. Those guys suck. We want them out. They deserve to die because that's the whole point of fantasy and fiction and stuff like that is that you get to have capital punishment fucking everywhere. However, the families of some of, like, Jessica Blanche, I don't know, maybe her mom would be like, I could use a fucking $250,000 from these fucking ancient people. I don't know that.
A weregild isn't good enough. Well, wait, 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 hold on.
Maybe a little bit of both. Like, sure, go ahead and kill the bastards that, like, killed my daughter. That's cool. You're
but
yeah, right.
You do still owe her parents or family.
But I was going to say, but, like, you're just taking it on for all of these people that have no idea. You just stiffed all
these
people.
This is supernatural.
People.
It has nothing to do with the government.
You don't need the money. It's fine.
Your daughter's dead and you'll never know anything about it.
Yeah, it's not about dollars.
That's a good point. I don't think about that aspect. Right?
I know. That's like the only thing where he's like, oh, I just have to pay a weregild and that's not good enough. I just want to be able to kill these guys. And I'm like, I don't know. Can we have a little bit of both?
Yeah.
Can that be like part of your, like, I'm going to kill the people that did it, but y'all still have to.
Yeah, you set up trust funds for her
see,
whole
thing. Yeah, like, right? I'm like, all these people that Harry just
stocks in one of your many baseball teams.
Right? Just out of hand.
We already know that Harry's having issues with temper, so he's like, fuck that.
Like,
if I can make it without money, you can make it without money.
As long as I had to pull myself up by the bootstraps, you can, yeah. But yeah, that was my only thing. I was like, I get it, and that's
touché.
Fine. But to say, I'd be like, wait a minute, if I somehow
found
out
you are a vampire and you want to kill
like,
me,
wait,
my
wait,
mom
wait
can't be bought.
Absolutely. Oh, frick. But yeah.
Okay, so this is, again, Ramirez getting fucking pissed off. Laura comes to discuss a little bit of the back and forth, and I do somewhat like the dig about her, oh, really, you're going to protect me, Laura, like you're protecting Thomas?
Ooh, yeah. Because she's all there for it. She's like, oh, I'm more awake. Like,
you can tell that she likes him, though, because she, like...
Yeah. And she banters.
She gives him a little, just a little quirky little smile.
It's
and
fun,
he's
okay.
Like,
it's the same thing as, like, him and Markham. They love to hate each other kind of a thing. Yeah. It's like, ooh, well played.
It's just fun to deal with a child sometimes.
Right?
But just also an idiot. The local jester, you know?
The local village idiot, but that also spins things to your advantage when he, so it's like...
Ooh, gray. Speaking of gray, Carlos Ramirez, he's fucking pissed. And it's obviously so fair because him going through, you speak ghoul, you speak ancient Etruscan, you can barely even speak Latin, and you're like hang out with vampires all the time. And again, watching the way you interact with Laura, yeah, it's a little buddy.
It's finally like, okay,
buddy.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
is too
you
much.
Guys got your
this is more of the Harry not being careful. He's, oh, who cares? We can hang out. Carlos is a friend. And
even though, and he's like, well, now's a fine time to, like, not trust me. And like, and I'm like, okay. Again, Carlos is like, fuck you.
Now's
I'm still here.
Suspicious.
I'm not turning. But, and again, even this where Carlos is like, I don't know. Can't help but feel it. And especially because you explained to him. Because he's like, Carlos is like, why doesn't Cesarina just fucking blast you all. Like, No. They don't play that way. Everything is about hiding.
Which is still not enough. They're like, they only do that if they have to. I'm like, okay, so they could still do that at the end.
Well, that's true.
But anyways.
So you literally say they are all about trying to one-up each other and come at you from the shadows and ambush tactics. So Carlos is like, I feel like maybe we're stepping into a trap here.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like, why does not Harry take the opportunity to be like, oh yeah, fuck, we absolutely are. Like, he just keeps even skirting around that kind of like, oh, well, you don't trust me now, Carl? What the fuck kind of answer is that, Harry?
Like, still, yeah, Harry
could be like, oh yeah, no, it's absolutely, like, be prepared, there will be something, but we just don't know what it is. Or
well,
again,
you
know, like,
kind of trauma from just the White Court hates me. He's so ready for anyone in the White Court, even his friend Ramirez, to be like,
Council,
oh
yeah.
My God.
The Wizard Council.
So
Wizard
excited
Council,
for the Wizard Council to look at him and be like, you're a fucking traitor. So the second Ramirez is like, you're being fucking weird. Harry's like, oh, so you think I'm a traitor too, right? But at the same time, Harry, yeah, you're fucking suspicious as fuck. All your friends are fucking evil. If he was able to pull up your phone lines and be like, well, you were on the phone with fucking gangster an hour before this.
I was gonna, yeah, right, exactly. Let's see, you got Marcone, you got Thomas Ray.
If they knew about Elaine, that would also be suspicious behavior, hanging out with her.
Oh, I met your friend who you recommended to the council, but oddly enough, just isn't quite good enough to get on
if
the council,
had ears
Harry.
In the police department, I'm sure there's even words about Murph being a dirty cop at this point because of her relationship with Harry. They probably are suspicious of her. I mean, IA's always right. been on her ass.
Yeah, and even though
we know that it's almost being too good at her job, being too good a cop for everyone else on the outside.
Demoted, like,
it probably looks like, yeah, like, oh, you're.
It just depends if Carlos drinks enough of the Kool-Aid to be like, I don't fucking care about more.
But this is my point, though,
politics,
is that if Harry's trying to be suspicious, he's fucking good at it.
Yeah,
it's fair for Amiris to stand on the sideline and be like, yo, are they fucking right about you? He's fucking crazy.
He literally has fucking, like, tokens to redeem with the fucking fairy courts.
Yeah.
As, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's got fingers in all the pies and allies and enemies in every
fucking... That's the
problem,
having these allies who are your enemies everywhere you
and,
go.
Yeah, no.
The white court, the white council has essentially been like, we declare war on A, B, C, D, E. And Harry's like, aw, but B, C, D are my friends. And A and E can do some good stuff sometimes.
And if we put F against A and C, then we can screw the ones I don't like, but still keep the ones I do. Yeah, no, for sure. It's absolutely, and I don't understand.
Yeah, him not acknowledging that. He's just so mad about it. Just let me do what I want without asking. Like, bitch, you are gray. You are so morally gray when it stands up with these people and be like, well, you should trust that I'm doing the right thing. Okay, but look at from his point of view. You have a reputation.
Well, even this exact thing where Carlos is like, hey, I think they're going to come at us. We better watch our flanks. And Harry's like, oh, gee, thanks. You know, like, I know you might not recognize it, but I've done this before. He's like, haha. But then he's like, okay, Carlos, so now you do this, this, and this. And Carlos is like, you want to tie my shoes? He's like, whoa, where's that? I'm like, you literally just did exactly the same thing to him with his comment. He's like, oh, I think we need to watch ourselves. And you're like, no shit, Carlos, this is not my first rodeo. And then you're like, so by the way, Carlos, you're going to stand with A, B, and C, and we're going to do. And Carlos is like, yeah, I know. And you're like, well, what the fuck is your problem? Why are you bitching at me?
But even in his internal monologue in his head, he's still like, Ramirez is right. This was a trap. I'm like, well.
Vocal. Yeah, exactly. You know. Just give him that at least. Be like, yeah, I don't know.
But it might just be implied. Yes, Ramirez gets it. Okay.
And I don't know. Well, the only other tiniest thing was not even so much that Ramirez gets it. Was I'm like, I don't know, maybe this is for the benefit of all these super ears that might be listening. You don't want to tip your hand and say, I know y'all have something coming at me, so I can't. But again, I'm like, I don't know, you could just set up a code beforehand or something like that. Like, you're prepping him to go into...
What do you need? What code do you need? Kill vampires. Done.
Well, no, but, like, exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Well, and a bit to further what you're saying, too, like, about a bunch of the thematic stuff in the whole book has been, like, where even Harry himself has said that you, like, you don't always come back from black magic.
Yeah.
And it's not even so this is kind of, like, looking at from somebody's outside perspective of him doing all of this shit, it really, if you stack up all of that evidence that you just said, it doesn't look like he did get...
Well, and that's...
He is still
standing by black
magic.
It was two books ago that Harry's like, literally, I cannot learn to rely on her. And in this book, he's like, what's this? What's that? Tell me everything. Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah. Translate this. Translate that. Remember this. Look up that.
We're so cool. Lash high five. You and me forever.
Yeah, right? You know, really, I was going to say we should take exception with these last few books because they should be the most fucking reliable because he's got a fucking eidetic memory in there to relive everything word for word.
Yeah, but who can also rewrite books reality like around him?
Harry's just sitting in the hot tub.
I mean, he's trusting Lash to do a perfect translation here. She could absolutely say whatever she wants. And there's even a moment in here, too,
he's talking about her that she's got free will, so why not?
Yeah, no kidding. But
they're talking about the latest spring collection.
When Harry says, oh, Lash was doing a perfect translation, but even I could tell that Magical's ancient Christian was as good as my Latin. I was like, Lash is kind of being a bitch for that. She could just translate it. She doesn't have to translate it badly just so Harry knows that he's an idiot. She's just like, yeah, I want you to know, like, this guy is stupid.
Let me give you a little pep.
I mean, it does make sense.
He used this word, but he should have used it.
I mean, all that, I guess, is that exactly the whole point, is that she didn't just clean up. She just gave you what was. But yes, no,
but
I know.
Still, but it's true. It's that Harry is trusting Lash that she actually has done all this translation correctly, too, when she absolutely could not have.
Right?
And he's responding to them in English, or is he responding in ancient Etruscan?
Etruscan. Right? I have to assume based Etruscan, on... Because, again, same thing.
I know
that's
you
where
brought
I was
this up
like,
before,
you think,
but I was like,
Yeah, Ramirez could still get some of it just from Harry's side of the conversation, but
he could. But I think that is exactly
yeah,
like
Harry's
he said.
Ramirez complaining. Yeah. Oh, you yeah, speak.
He said it. He said it when he was dealing with the ghouls that he was thinking and talking English, yes, but what came out of his mouth was ghouls. Yeah. So I think that's exactly it here. Is that yes? Exactly. Is that he is yeah? She's translating it, and he's speaking the Etruscan words. Which is why, Ramirez is all the more confused when all of a sudden the dance starts up and the wine starts happening. You know, Madrigal is there shit in his pants, and all of a sudden the music comes up and they leave, and Harry's like, all right. And they're like, are we doing this? Are we in the woods? But yeah, crazy, crazy.
I do kind of love that they start the duel as if it's like a drag race where they drop like the ribbon.
The red handkerchief. Yes.
And they're off.
And they're off. Well, even this, so they figure out, so they're like, oh, we're going to be careful, you know, like, yeah, we can just start blasting everybody. They come back with the weapons and they're getting ready to go. And exactly, they line up all the brawls to stand between, because Laura rocks down. Yeah, they don't get further than that, I guess, just the, but, so yeah, they're like, great. And I like Harry's description where I use like impenetrable and bastion and blasting. He's like, not words usually associated with like, finesse and delicacy. He's like, at least Ramirez has a little bit more like speed and accuracy on his, but he's like, I just fucking blast my way. I just depend on mass casualties. And now you're like, oh, by the way, let's just put all these people here so you don't just, oops, accidentally blast half of the White Court by accident. Oh, I'm sorry, I was aiming for Madrigal. Not my fault 50,000 other people died. But yeah.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not the right book for genocide. This concludes our episode 18.19, Gauntlet Throne. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.